Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thought?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring, where me, Rhys, a Welsh immigrant, introduces Jesse.
Hello.
Him to Canadian politics, and he hates it. So here we are. Everything you need to know about our show in roughly 11 seconds.
You're quite the salesman, Rhys.
Thank you very much.
So good. You're so, so good.
Yeah. You were on another podcast. You're an adulterist host.
I was on I was on another podcast. My buddy Patrick from We Live on a Planet. I love that show. It's
has Patrick got that I don't, Jesse? I'm joking.
A soothing voice and a nice demeanor.
Fine. Fuck you.
Right? You know what Patrick doesn't say to me?
And what's not soothing about me, you prick? Anyway,
Patrick helped me out when I first got into podcasting, when I had had my own podcast before this one, and he had me on his show, and he was helping me with the ropes and whatnot, and he's got a great show. It's just like he calls it a personal journal. No, he calls it a variety show. Personal journal with a variety show flair. There it is. I got
good.
It, which is exactly what it is. He talks about his life, and he talks about you'll learn some facts from the fact site, and he does the word of the day. It's just fun stuff. But he's got this voice that's like a deep CBC radio narrator announcer voice. That's like, if you're really stressed out, just listening to him talk about like how when Smarties were invented is like very relaxing.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, go check it out. It's called We Live on a Planet, and I am on episode 542, Radio Mylar, which is my other online name is Radio Mylar. So We Live on a Planet, Radio Mylar. There you go.
Yeah.
We got some other news.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the love. We asked for reviews, and the we universe got delivered.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. You guys are fucking awesome. You rock. Reese, you want to read them?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, no, friend of mine.
I screenshotted them and I sent them to you, and then I imagine you did a backflip. There was two of them that came through. One said, "Come one, come all, this pod's on fire." That was by
Matt the Matterhorn. And the other one is
Jerome123.
Yeah. Jerome123 said, "What did I just listen to?" Which sounds like
He's angry.
Yeah. But then five stars. What did I just listen to? Five stars.
So this must be one of the most entertaining political podcasts I've listened to. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it sounds like
we're rubbing ourselves off. No, we said that if you leave us a review, we might read it on our podcast.
This is for you, not me. Interesting historical context and discussions of ideas accompanied with a wonderful sense of humor makes for a great way to spend 20 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, it was very well thought out. Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we appreciate it.
It makes it all worth it. So if you're not willing to pay for the Patreon, it's nice. The least you could do is leave a nice review. So that's ego Patreon.
That was really nice. Look at us. We asked for stuff and it happens. Oh, nice.
I know, it was great. It's really nice. Yeah. Call to action and people did actions. Yeah.
What you got for me today, Reese? Let's just jump right into the fucking shit. Let's do it.
Oh, I don't know. What have I got? Let me look at my episode bag. Hang on a second. Nothing good's happened, to be honest. I'm joking. I've got...
See everyone!
It's fine. Have you ever heard of Operation Fish?
Now I just feel like you're making that up.
Operation Fish?
Like... The person who names these operations could have come up with something better than that, so that's just a lazy title.
Well, you don't know what they did, so it's easy to say it's a lazy title. You don't know what they actually did. You might go, oh, that's clever.
All right, all right. Wow me, Reese.
Actually, some of the operation names they come up with are quite funny. I love the ones that are really obvious what they're doing. But anyway, Operation Fish is an interesting one. So during World War II, it was the largest movement of wealth in history. So it was the evacuation of British wealth from the UK to Canada.
Okay. What? So the largest
transfer of wealth from the UK to Canada during World War II. So just like
luggage full of gold bricks or something?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. So I don't know if you've ever heard of World War II before, but it was a time when most of Europe had been invaded and the Battle of Britain was going on. America wasn't involved, and it looked like Hitler was going to invade the UK, and there was nothing that was going to stop him. So at the time, the UK had a plan for evacuating a lot of stuff in case they did come in, so they could keep fighting from Canada.
Okay. So I'm hearing your dog in the background. Is she okay?
She's being naughty. I think she needs a poo.
Do you need to take a little break?
No, it's okay. She's all right. She just sat there now. She moans for a bit. She lies down and then I take her out. She's fine. She just needs to chill out.
She was getting into her garbage bins earlier.
No, she's okay. She's about to flop down. She's settled down. There we go.
So you know her well.
I do know her well. So obviously, like, the British government needed to evacuate a ton of money. So if Hitler did invade and London fell and the UK was invaded, they could finance fighting back with all their cash reserves. So Operation Fish was the big kind of movement of it. But before that, a lot of convoys had been running between the UK and kind of North America with gold and cash, just to purchase weapons from the Americans, largely. But they needed to kind of ramp it up a little bit. So they needed to move all of this wealth, but obviously they needed to do it in the most secret way they possibly could, because obviously Hitler was like, hey, did you hear about that gold shipment? They posted it. They did a selfie on Instagram with all those gold bars.
Oh my God, could you imagine Instagram back in World War II?
That's the weird thing about what's going on in Ukraine, though, is that it's like TikToks of people stealing tanks and stuff.
Right?
It's mad. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So the improbably named Commodore Augustus Willington Shelton Agar.
Hold on. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. You are not just saying that name and going right past it. What?
Commodore Augustus Willington Sheldon Agar. Sorry, Shelton Agar. I messed it up.
So Commodore is a title.
Commodore, yeah.
Like doctor. It's a title.
No, it's like a rank in the Navy.
It's a rank.
Commodore Augustus Willington Shelton Agar.
And that's he had a ship. The craziest fucking name I've ever heard in my life.
And he had a ship called HMS.
Should we give him a nickname? I'm not going to remember the whole thing.
Commodore Augustus. I'm going to call him Commodore 64, which is the old games console.
All right, I'm aware. Why is it? Because it's got 64 first names.
64-bit. So the Commodore 64 had a ship called HMS Emerald. And on the 3rd of October 1939, he dropped anchor in Plymouth, which is one of the main naval hubs in the UK. Do you know, I'm going to have to take it to the toilet. Hang on.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
2 seconds. I'll be back in a moment. I'm going to leave it run, but I'll be back now.
You're going to let me entertain?
Actually, no. I'm going to pause it. So it's paused. There we are. We're back.
I was telling this incredible story the entire time.
To yourself.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I was talking about how you died and went to heaven and you were bathing in eggnog.
Well, sorry. It wasn't recorded.
It was an incredible story. I was very happy. No. I was proud of myself. I was describing how, like, we were hearing the sounds of you taking your dog outside, but suddenly we heard the sounds of, like, fire trucks and police sounds, and the whole building collapsed. And then we heard, like, what could only be just the sounds of heaven and just like giggling angels and harps. And then like Reese ascends into heaven. And then he's like, oh shit, no, I need to finish the podcast. I need a microphone. And then I'd go back to Earth and God's like, here you go, Reese. And then this golden microphone appears out of like the cloud that you're standing on. And you grab the microphone and you rip off all your clothes and you step into the eggnog pool where all the other angels are bathing in fresh eggnog. And you wash your sins clean while you finish the episode into the golden microphone. I'm not kidding. This is literally, I said it a lot slower than that because I was just trying to think of what to say. So
that was a nice one.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, none of this was being recorded, so it's not going to make the episode.
This still isn't being recorded?
No, it is being recorded, but this doesn't make any sense to people listening.
But okay, Reese left to go.
No, it's fine.
Take his dog for shit, and he paused the episode. But I didn't know it was paused, so that he just left the mics running while leaving me to entertain you, our dear audience, for like 10 minutes while he went and squeezed his dog's bowels until something came out.
Okay, so there we go. So to carry on with the episode?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
So, well, we're back now. My dog's at a dump. I washed my hands because I picked it up, but I didn't have a bag. So,
I'm joking. Why would you tell us that?
A bag.
Okay, God,
I'm a psychopath.
Ew.
It's fine. So anyway,
Jesus.
Commodore 64 had arrived in Plymouth in HMS Emerald, which was his ship, and he was about to be briefed by Rear Admiral Lancelot Holland. These are great names.
It's again, this is a Rear Admiral, a Lancelot Holland.
Exactly.
Lancelot.
A solid name.
That's amazing.
So the Winston Churchill's government had used their wartime powers and they'd confiscated the securities that British people were forced to register at the beginning of the year. So like people's investments and things were confiscated under secrecy and moved to Scotland. So the HMS Emerald with Commodore 64 was sent up to collect £2 million in gold bars, which is roughly £112 million by today's money.
Jesus.
And they were going to sail to Halifax, Nova Scotia.
All right. So, and this is in gold bullion?
Yes. So a railway truck. The message you were sent said a railway truck is expected to be placed alongside each ship at 1 a.m. Each truck is expected to contain 148 boxes, each weighing 130 pounds. The total number of boxes is numbered Z298 to Z741 inclusive. Guards are to be put on each trunk on arrival at the ship. Embarkation is to commence 6:30 or as soon as daylight permits. Adequate steps are to be taken for supervision of each box from unloading the truck to stowage and ship. Finally, a receipt is to be forwarded to CNC Western Approaches on the attached form. Some kind of admin. Anyway, so the Admiral, the Emerald sailed to Nova Scotia with the gold bullion, and it was heading to Monterey.
And it's a sailing ship.
No, it sailed. Even if it's not a sailing ship, they say it sailed. It was.
Oh, okay.
Imagine it was probably.
It moved through the water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they put the sail. They one of those old wooden ones. They dusted it off. They thought this will be a great idea. So, so it left with. They left for Montreal, Quebec, and. In like obviously this was a lot of secrecy, and to throw people off, the crew were fitted with tropical white uniforms to confuse German agents. So they thought they were going to go somewhere warm instead of Halifax because they were all wearing their tropical gear.
Hold on. What kind of ship was this?
A warship.
It was a warship.
Yeah, it was a warship.
But they were wearing. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of them together, HMS Revenge, HMS Resolution, HMS Enterprise, and HMS Caradoc, all dressed in inappropriate clothing for the weather.
So the Germans on the horizon, they're looking through their telescopes. They see these warships. We're like, we're going to go. Oh, wait. No, never mind. They're wearing Hawaiian shirts. Leave them alone. Like, that's the thought?
Yeah, they're like, oh no, they're not going to Halifax. Look at that, they got their shorts on.
Really?
They're going this spring break, that's where they're going. So and they hit a massive storm. So they lost their boats, rafts, and depth charges, wires and shackles that equipment that were on the decks. They even lost a ferry Sea Fox, which was a plane. But they made it, and all of the gold was then transferred over to so the gold was sent to Ottawa, and the securities, the rest of the money was sent to the Sun Life building in Montreal.
Oh, they made it. Wow.
They did it. They got over there. So then,
well, this is a very anticlimactic story.
Oh no, but there's more to it. So they
wanted to bring gold from Britain to Canada, and they did it. The end. Hope you enjoyed that story, everyone.
So then what happened is that was just the first one. So they kept sending more. So eventually, they kept sailing them over secretly to the point where they had. It was over like $32 billion by today's money that they were secretly sailing across.
Okay. That's almost as much as it takes to buy Twitter.
I know, not quite. So yeah, Winston Churchill really wanted to buy Twitter. So you could kick Hitler off.
Did you? I don't know if this is true or not, but just speaking of the whole Elon Musk thing for a second. Apparently, if it's true, Elon Musk told the World Health Organization that if they could come up with an actual budget for and a plan for like not curing, but like solving world hunger, Elon Musk would give them $6 billion. And they did. They came up with a plan and they came up with a budget and it was a solid plan. And Elon Musk said, fuck you. And he bought Twitter instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a good plan, but I was lying. I had my fingers crossed.
Yeah. Right. I had my fingers crossed.
So yeah. Everyone's fuck him.
You know, it's more important than solving world hunger. Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I know. Although a lot of people are angry. They go, I'm leaving Twitter now. And I'm like, I don't know. Do you know who was in charge before? Do you know if they were any better or worse? It's like.
Right.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So it was, and it wasn't just the UK doing it. There was a the Polish government was sending their own kind of like gold and treasure away, because obviously, you know, Poland was suffering a lot during the war, was invaded. So the Polish ship Batory was loaded with treasure, and was
treasure.
It just says treasure. So I imagine, like, I don't know, like
Coast, like the Goonies sort of
Pirates of the Caribbean,
like the blue
gold coins turning into a zombie, that kind of stuff.
Okay, all right.
Like the imagine the Goonies, but.
That's what I just said, Reese.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a good visual. Just imagine.
You're stealing my ideas.
Or Hook. Is there treasure in Hook? I don't know.
I don't think there
it's
is, actually.
Food that you imagine that becomes real, that looks like it's full of food coloring. Anyway.
Are you fucking kidding me? That'd be like the greatest magical or mutant power.
Imagining like, food.
That just appears. Like, seriously? Yeah, yeah. Like, all the food just happens to look like Play-Doh, but I mean, it tastes great, though.
Exactly. So this Polish ship was full of Polish treasure and was being escorted by HMS Bonaventure. And they hit heavy fog. And the fog was also full of icebergs. So they had to stop and just float in the water. And at the time, I don't know if you know it. Do you know anything about U-boats?
Oh, wait. No, that's creepy as fuck.
I know. Do you know anything about U-boats?
I do, amazingly, I know that just from a show that I've been editing recently, a television show, there was this small segment on U-boats.
Oh, there we go.
Where Germany had this big plan to kind of, they're like, we're gonna win this war, really tip the tides by investing a lot of money and time into manufacturing a whole bunch of U-boats, which are essentially submarines, from what I understand.
Well, it literally translates to undersea boot or undersea boat.
Right. So, you know, what we know as submarines.
A submarine.
And they... they did it, but then they were like, at the same time, Americans or maybe Britons, I don't know, the other side came up with anti-submarine.
Yeah, they had spotter planes and they had depth charges and they would
there
try,
go,
and,
yeah.
they'd try and hunt them back, and they came up with a bunch of technology to...
And it was, it turned out to be one of the biggest failures of the German war effort, honestly.
Yeah, but for a while, though, they were destroying a lot of the convoys, and they had to. It did divert a lot of resources from the Allies, though, because they had to protect the convoys a lot more, so they didn't have as many warships to fight. So it kind of worked for a while, but yeah.
It worked a bit at the beginning, but then yeah. It was very, very quickly the tides turned. Yeah.
So anyway, these ships were there, and then. They were like the U-boats could get them, so they were there for a few days fixing them, and they got very lucky.
So just these boats in the middle of icebergs,
iceberg fog,
iceberg and fog. How creepy must that have fucking
been? It's a great horror film.
Can you imagine? Like, seriously, can you picture you're on the deck of this ship carrying treasure? There's icebergs and fog all
it's
around
insane.
You. You have been like. Ordered to wear fucking Hawaiian shirts and shorts.
Having a you must always be roasting meat on a barbecue on the deck. I can't feel my legs. But I am wearing this wonderful crown. So eventually they managed to repair, and a few days later they managed to unload the treasure, which I find amazing. It's like, but imagine the person waiting for the treasure to arrive. You're going, where the fuck are they?
I still want to know what this treasure was.
I'd probably just gold, like, Terry's chocolate orange, probably three or four of those. I don't know, maybe like a
Very
new
important.
iPad, that kind of stuff. You know those grabber machines that you always lose your money? It's just all that stuff, like 15 of those.
This is what comes to your mind when,
untold,
when you think of treasure.
So, but it was really interesting how they then, what happens. So when you transfer that amount of money and securities and wealth, like just keeping track of it to make sure that, because imagine if you're the captain of one of those ships, you were like, I've got like, you know, a few million pounds worth of gold. Should we just sail to Australia and just, you know, I don't know, just buy a house? You know,
I'm sure a lot of the captains were tempted. Maybe not the captains, but like,
that'd be a great series, though. A great idea.
Someone must have been tempted to open up the crates and kind of sneak a little something in their pockets. I know,
exactly. So they built there was a specially constructed underground vault, three stories beneath the Sun Life building in Montreal.
Okay.
And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were there around the clock, obviously. And they started a rumor that the crown jewels of the United Kingdom were stored there to deliberately make people think
that... Well, see, that's treasure.
No, I know. But they were like, they were like, oh, yeah, I mean, the crown jewels are there. But what they don't want them to realize is the billions of pounds worth of wealth was there too. So they made people think that the reason that there were so many police outside was because they were guarding the crown jewels. So it was a complete, like, you know, switch. But imagine if you go in there to steal a crown and you realize you've just come across billions. You're like, oh, well, this is way better. I could buy a crown. I could just make a crown. And then they had 5,000 employees working above, and they never knew what was going on. They had no idea.
Oh, hold on. 5,000 employees? Where, in the Sun Life building?
And they never suspected that this huge undertaking of wealth and gold that just happened and was right beneath them.
Wow.
And not one crate of the cargo went missing.
Holy shit. So this is a success then?
Yeah, yeah. And
the endeavor was a success.
And the Axis agents, so Germany, Italy, and Japan, none of their intelligence ever even clocked it. Historically, looking back at that, they never even worked out that was even happening. So it was like a big success.
That's wow. Oh, that's cool.
And they had to hide.
I mean, it doesn't make for a great story.
I mean, it's kind of the story.
Neat that it happened.
It's kind of it's a good ending. So hundreds of accountants and bankers.
We wanted to bring gold from the war effort over to Canada to hide, and we did it. The end.
But it's impressive.
It was impressive.
You're hoping everyone died because that's what Jesse wants.
I just want a good story.
It's a good story. Hundreds of accountants were like hired to catalog everything.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so none of it was lost. All of it was transferred over. And in the end, they won Allies won the war. So it was, I like that story.
All right. You know what? I'll give you that, but only if you do another audio drama. The train one, you did a couple audio dramas for the Trudeau mysteries and the cocaine train.
Do you mean like from the deck of the ship, the treasure ship?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it as a diary entry. Okay, I'm gonna go for it.
Here we go.
October the 28th, 1941. We've been stranded in the iceberg fog for a long time. We did see a ship called the Titanic, so we blew it up, and that was all we had to do. My legs are so cold, and my arms are so cold, that the tropical wear seemed like fun for the first 3 weeks, but it's been hell for the last 3 weeks. We've run out of hot dogs and burgers for the barbecue, and we're now grilling seagulls to keep the grill going to allow the facade to continue. At one point, we thought we saw a U-boat, but it turns out it was just an iceberg shaped like a U-boat, and we were all very scared. I've been wearing my white tropical gear for so long, it is now beige, and so is everybody else's. Dave, who has been keeping the barbecue going, has lost 7 toes to frostbite. But luckily, we've managed to bejazzle ourselves with treasure to help pass the time. I look fabulous. I have a wonderful pearl necklace. The crown of a prince regent from a bygone Polish empire. And also some crocs that are diamante encrusted. It's a wonderful time. Spirits are high despite the ongoing challenges of floating in fog and ice. And also the fact that we could die at any moment from a U-boat torpedo. But, you know, we've been singing karaoke. We've been playing cards. Someone even found an old set of Pokemon cards for us to play. And a half-working mousetrap game that we managed to repair using cutlery from the mess hall and bits of old potato. So
Dave's severed toes.
And Dave's severed toes. So we managed to play Mousetrap for 3 hours. Anyway, I do hope Mother is well and the children. And I do hope Father comes back to life soon, despite a bomb landing on him. And you may put him back together very soon. This is a dark time for everyone. Please send us more condiments. We've run out of ketchup for the barbecue. The seagull is very chewy, so if there's any mayonnaise or hot sauce that you could send over, that would be great. We hope to be in Halifax very soon, and this is I'm running out of ink. So bye. How was that?
Signed by who?
Signed by
one of those weird
Commodore 64. yours truly, your love, your Commodore 64. P.S. 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 Don't tell anyone about this letter. It's secret. There you go. How was that?
That was great. Remind me of the journal entry of Camp 20.
Exactly.
It's one of my favorite bits. Ever. So
that was Operation Fish.
I've been
Reese Waters.
Why is it called Operation Fish now that I think about it?
I don't know. They're not going to call it Operation Secret Treasure.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Did you know that the FBI did an operation where they would
it's Operation Secret Treasure.
I think the CIA did a secret operation in the 60s using LSD and drugging people with prostitutes, and they called it Operation Midnight Climax.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, very obvious name. So anyway, Operation Secret Treasure is what we'll call the episode.
Oh, that was interesting. I wouldn't call it one of your crazier episodes, but it was interesting, and I learned something. So,
good. Yeah.
So there you go.
What would you count as a crazy episode?
The Pig War of 1859.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Right? that was fucking
a fun
crazy
nightmare.
That's
yeah.
Call to action.
We did Patreon last time. Let's do more reviews, please.
Oh yeah, and if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and it's funny or nice enough, we'll probably read it on our show.
Yeah,
like we did last time. So thank you all who will go and rate our show and leave a review. Genuinely helps. It actually it helps boost us in the ranks and whatnot. So more people can hear us. Also, second call to action is the same thing I said at the beginning of the show. Please go check out me on Patrick's podcast, We Live on a Planet. It's episode 542, Radio Mylar. That's me. It was a fun show, and you'll get to hear more of my melodious voice.
Yeah,
nobody, you can do that right now.
Nobody asked me to be on their podcast.
That's because you're Welsh, and they're racist. Yeah.
Welsh people are allowed to be on podcasts. If you got a podcast you want me to be on your podcast is better than Jesse's, then let me know.
Oh, God. You've really opened up a can of worms now, Reese. So,
cool. Well, I'm gonna go because my dog wants to go home and have his food.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
Yay. Yeah. So, bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.